Here we go. Okay. So, what are some of the truths that you listed out? Yeah. That's what you do. Is that what you? That's not the truth. You know, you don't put yourself down. Yeah. You're never alone. Yeah. You are loved. Yeah. I'm appreciated. Full of worth. Huh? Celebrated. I like that word. Accepted. Known. Connected. Yeah, I'm empowered to make choices. I can make choices. Loved. Significant. Yeah, you can control yourself. I think that's so important for us. Those of us that sometimes feel powerless or out of control or under somebody else's control, it's so important for us to feel like, you know, wait a minute, I can do what's on my side of the fence. I can't maybe control what somebody else does, but I'm empowered to do and make some choices for myself here. I'm not powerless. Those are important things. What are some of the things that you thought you could do differently? Yeah. Be non-defensive. Yeah. That non-defensiveness of being able to start out saying, okay, let's just understand this thing first. One of the words that I have in my family's repertoire that I've had that I've calmed myself with many times when I start taking actions is, let's work the problem. Let's work the problem. You know, let's not go after all the drama. And I'm telling myself that. Let's not go after all the drama. Let's work the problem. Yeah. What other choices? Nurturing. Huh? Nurturing. Yeah. And nurturing is such a practical thing. You know, when Sharon and I talk about a nurturing language, we usually point to three things. We're usually talking about you nurture by listening. You nurture by accepting or appreciating, and you nurture by encouraging, calling out what you see in the other person's heart. That nurtures their heart, nurtures their soul. Yeah. Let go and relax. You know, let go of that which you can't control anyway. You know, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, I wish we could see, but we just don't have the eyes to see everything that's in front of us. Yep. What else could you do? Be vulnerable. Isn't that a great word? Because we are so vulnerable. The truth is that we have to depend on one another. So when I allow myself to be vulnerable and say, I need your help, or here I am, this is the real me, it encourages people. You know, your vulnerability very seldom drives people off. Most of the time it will make people go, I relate to that. And it will draw people closer. Yeah, what else? Forgiveness is a big deal in this. I always say, there's this old Bible teacher by the name of Stuart Briscoe, and I always used to, Stuart Briscoe used to, you know, he'd always couple judgment, mercy, and grace together. He'd say, judgment is getting exactly what you deserve. Mercy is not getting all you deserve. Grace is it getting exactly what you don't deserve. I always thought, yeah, I can use with that idea of being merciful and graceful in my life. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up in a family where somebody always had to be to blame for something. You know, if something went wrong, who's to blame for this? You know, and then we have to beat up on them a while, you know. I'll never forget the day Sharon looked at me and says, why does somebody always have to be to blame with you? And I thought, I don't think so. But I remember thinking to myself, yeah, why is that? And it revolutionized the way I started thinking about things, thinking, you know, all I have to do is be more merciful on this thing. Yeah. Anything else that you picked up? Gentle. Ah, gosh. Isn't that, you know, especially gentleness that, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, gentleness is velvet covering your brick. Is that you don't have to be a pushover to be gentle. Gentleness, true gentleness, has a lot of strength to it. It just has a sense of settling with it. Well, think about those words that we're talking about. If we did those things in our relationship, in the midst of the points where we're getting ready to be the most dysregulated, think of how different our conflicts would go. If on the spot we were able to take what was going to go old self and is based on the lies that we have told ourselves before, and we were able to on the spot switch it over to a new self behavior where we started telling ourselves these truths, and we were able to regulate ourselves into a place where we are doing what is good, what is pure, what is worthy, what is really, really excellent. Man, I think that we would find ourselves, you know, being a lot more happy with one another and probably loving on each other a whole lot more. Well, let's start the transition then into this idea of how we start making that work happen. Because you and I know that this old self is automatic. This new self, like Sharon's talking about, you have to cut neural pathways into your brain. It's the learning how to brush your teeth with the wrong hand, right? You're going to make some mistakes, and it's going to be slow. You're not going to be done tonight with your pain cycle. It's still going to come up on you. It's still going to get you. But what we are trying to tell you tonight is that you don't have to stay there. Based on something you do tonight, you can actually know how to get out of the ditch instead of just letting it pass or just laying low until your spouse gets in a better mood or you get in a better mood. You can actually do something about this. We know a lot about mindfulness that we didn't know before. We do know this also. Based on the neural research in the last 10 years, we know a lot about the brain that we didn't know before. The first thing that I want to emphasize to you is that if you leave your brain alone, it's designed to go negative. All right? All things being equal, your brain will go negative. You'll think about the worst thing. You don't work at getting your truth into your life, your brain will go right back to this because that's what your brain knows. Then there's sort of a protection framework about this. We think that by anticipating the most negative things, we'll keep ourselves out of having trouble. It's just not true. Our brain may be influenced by that because we're kind of all in this sin soup pot together, but we're really designed to do something different. And it's up to us to start making that intentional effort. We've already talked about one of the really important things. Your brain will do what it knows best. So if all you practice is your pain cycle and you make excuses for it, you say, oh, well, that's just my personality. You know how I am. You continue to tell yourself lies. Then you'll continue to do exactly the same thing. And here's the most important part that I want you to know. To make those new neural pathways, it doesn't mean that you cut them once and they're there. It means you have to practice. You have to do it over and over again, intentionally. That means that if I sent you home tonight and says, pick up your toothbrush with the opposite hand and brush your teeth, it would be pretty ugly. You'd have toothpaste all over everywhere, and you'd have your mouth all sore. But you know, if you kept doing it the rest of this week into next week, by the end of 7 days, you'd be a virtuoso at it. In other words, it doesn't take long, but it does take intentional effort, and it does take enough practice to get it into your heart. That's what it's about. Think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Does that make sense? So what are we going to do that? We just have a real simple mindfulness trick that we want to teach you in transitioning from that pain cycle over to the peace cycle. That's what Sharon's going to tell you about.
Now, this is going to seem really silly, okay? But it works. And it works because of what Terry's talking about. It works because of the practice. As we talked about a little bit, what we want to do is we want to take you from the pain cycle to the peace cycle. Now, let me just tell you a story that happened to Terry and I. When we moved to Southern California, we thought it would be really easy to find a church. And we found out that it wasn't so easy. We thought it would be easy because it was just the two of us and we had no children with us at the time. And so, snap, you know, we're going to go visit a few churches and we're going to find it and we're going to be there. But it wasn't so easy. So we visited churches and we visited churches and we visited churches. And we went to this church one day. We went to one of these mega churches in Southern California. You know, when you go to a mega church, you park miles away from it. Parking, I guess, is a problem here too, right? Anyway, you park miles away from it. And so we went to this big church one day and we walked to church. We sat down. We enjoyed the service. We got up and we walked out and went back to the car. On the way back to the car, I asked Terry. Terry asked me the church visitation question, which is what? What'd you think? You know, same question. What'd you think? I said, oh, I really liked it. I liked the worship. I liked the sermon. I saw in the program some women's ministries I thought would really be great. I really think we could plug in there. We'd been in California about a year and a half by that time. I said, what'd you think? And he said, I don't think I could go there. Okay? Anything wrong with that? For me, but anything wrong with him replying that way? Not really. I can still to this day feel the emotional that went off in me. And I can still remember the very mature thing I said. Because I said, you don't care about what I want in a church, do you? You only care about what you want. Well, that day he skipped withdraw and perform, went straight to angry. And we're in a full-fledged fight by the time we get back to the car, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you how we could have done that differently if we'd been able to use these four simple steps that helps you get from one place to another. The first step is to say what you feel. Okay? What do you think I was feeling on that day? Why do you think that made me so angry? I'm not alone. I found a group of people I can connect to. You know, moving when you're 50 is a little bit of a challenge. It's a little hard to get connected, although people had been wonderful to us. But there was something about belonging to a church that I knew would help me feel like I was more at home. But if I had been able to say at that time, in that moment, I feel alone. it would have been very, very helpful. If I knew, I honestly tell y'all, I can still feel that feeling. I just felt it bubble up inside of me. If I'd been able to stop and think, what is going on inside of me, instead of attacking Terry, you know, it would have been a different experience. Now, when you use this first sentence of say what you feel, that doesn't, you don't want to say at the end of what you feel because you did such and such and so and so. It's just say what you feel. I feel alone. If you go on and say because you said da 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 da, da, you're going to get in a fight, okay? Let me save you that. So the first thing is to say what you feel. The next thing is to say what you normally do. Okay? So it would have sounded like this. I'm feeling really alone. What I normally do when I feel that way is I get really critical. Okay? Now, here's the part that you're going to think is the most bizarre. I'm wanting you to say this, and I'm wanting you to say it out loud. And the reason that I'm wanting you to say it out loud is when we just think things to ourselves, we process so many thoughts simultaneously that don't have near as much power as thoughts do when you say it out loud. If we're talking about creating a new neural pathway, when I say it out loud, it moves it from one part of my brain to another. It allows me to think about it and hear it in a different way. It also allows it to come out of my mouth and into my ear so I can give myself a new chance of something to do differently. So if I say I feel very alone, what I normally do when I feel that way is I get very critical. It's really hard at that moment to then turn around and get very critical because you've just predicted your own behavior. You've just told yourself, brain, I know what you're getting ready to do, and we're not going to do that. I'm not going to go there this time. But when I'm in pain, that's what I normally do, okay? Then the third step is to say the truth. So it would have sounded like this. I'm feeling very alone. Normally what I do when I feel alone is I get really critical or controlling. The truth is, I'm not alone. The truth is, Terry, you're here with me. The truth is, we will find a church. The truth is, a lot of people in Southern California have been really wonderful, and they had been really wonderful in embracing us into the community in Pasadena. If I had slowed myself down long enough to put that truth into what was going on with me, I wouldn't have had to respond to the truth that I was telling myself that absolutely was not accurate. And then the fourth step is say what you will do differently. Okay, and if you have those peace cycle and pain cycle, you might jot that on by those cycles. You might jot these four things so you can use them all simultaneously. But it would sound something like this. I'm feeling very alone. Normally what I do when I feel that way is I get really critical. The truth is that I am not alone. We are not alone. Terry, you're here with me. We're going to find a church. And so what I'm going to do differently is I'm going to stay calm and stay connected, and I want to listen to what you have to say. Okay? Now here's the key. The four steps do not solve the problem, right? We still don't know where we're going to church. But what do? De-escalate, deactivate. They bring us to an emotional point where we can actually talk about things. Yeah. You're saying it to yourself to calm yourself down. No, well, you're saying it out loud, so you're saying it to him. But the purpose of it is to calm yourself down. But here's what happens. If I look at Terry and I say, I'm feeling really alone, And normally what I do when I get that way is I get really critical. And he knows I'm working to calm myself. That's like music to his ears. He's going to go, yes. You know, and I'm going to turn around and tell him the truth. The truth is, you're here with me. The truth is, we're going to find a church. And so instead of getting upset, I am going to stay connected to you, and I really want to hear. This does a couple of things. It calms me down. It helps him know that I'm in a place of pain, so it helps him understand why I might be acting a little bizarre. But it also allows us to get to a place together where we can get to a place of calmness together. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the out loud is so critical because of the work it does in your brain. It's absolutely essential that you do this work out loud. If you're using it at work with your boss and you feel like you can't say it out loud in that moment, you might walk into your office and write it down. You know, get it out of your head in a different way. But I find it to be really productive with a lot of people. I find it to be productive with relationships, you know, friends that I'm close to. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I feel like doing. Here's the truth. Here's what I want to do differently. With my kids. So, yeah, what other questions or thoughts do y'all have? Yes. Yeah, and Matt has a really good point, but what I find a lot of people do right now is they'll take a snapshot on their cell phone, and so they'll have that awesome shot. because when we start to feel the emotional rise, we know something's off with us. You know, this is a new way to think. The thing that has changed with me more than anything since we started working this exercise is when Terry and I start to get into an argument, I start thinking first more about me and what's happening with me than I'm thinking about him and what he's doing right or wrong.
Also, keep in mind that the more that you name your tricks, the more you know your tricks. You know, you're totally predictable. So that when you start calling yourself out over and over again, it is no surprise to me. I know what my tricks are. I know that when I clam up and I withdraw, I'm already in trouble. I know that trick. I know when I start driving toward performance, I know that trick. And when I'm angry, I know what I'm doing. I know it's because I've done those other two things. The other thing that I want to say is, remember what we said. The bad news is, the hard news about the neuropsychology is that you must practice. You must practice. So this is what we find, is that if you post these things, this pain cycle, this peace cycle, and these four steps, and you make it a daily habit to say what you feel in your pain cycle, what you normally do in your pain cycle, what the truth is in your peace cycle, and what you are going to do differently in your peace cycle. If you do that 10 days in a row, you'll know the pain and peace cycle by heart. You'll know your shtick by heart. You'll have it set inside of you. Here's the next thing. You do it 20 days in a row, then you're going to be able to look back at the situation where you lost it and fell into your pain cycle, and you're going to say, I know what I did. I know what I did. And you'll be able to look at that and say, you know, I know why I got angry. I was, that day at church, I felt like I was not good enough. That was a failure. That's that me not finding a church, like my answer wasn't good enough for you. And that somehow you were telling me that I was unlovable because of that. What I normally do, Well, I just did it, right? I just popped the cork on my anger and unleashed that on you. Started telling you all the things that you did wrong. Here's what the truth is about me, though. And I speak to that part of myself again. You are loved. You are wanted. And you're certainly man enough to handle a church conversation. So what I want to do differently is I want to buddy up next to you. I want to tell you I'm not going to withdraw. I'm going to stay. I may feel like I need to. I mean, Sharon and I have this rule that I don't leave the room now when we're fighting. And I tell you, I get way close. I'm like, you know, here we go. All right.
And when he goes that way, you know, of course I want to follow.
Yeah. But then I to turn that to nurturing, here's what I appreciate about you. Here's what I appreciate about you. This is what I know about your heart. And I call those things out in our heart. Those things are going to actually get us into the place where we're connected again. Does that make sense? You do that 20 times in a row, you're going to find yourself being unimpeded in looking at the places where you screwed up and undoing it. You know, it might be an hour later, it might be 2 hours later, it might be a day later, but you'll be able to call it out by name. And here's the great part. If you do this 30 times, if you do these four steps 30 times, here's the great part. There's going to come a day somewhere in that 30 days where you're going to go, when you're going to be right, game conditions. We're getting ready to take it on. We're getting ready to tie on the pain cycle. And one of us is just going to go, wait a minute. I know what's happening. I know what's going on right now. It's happening right now. This is what I feel. This is what I normally do. What I'm getting ready to do. You see, when I name what my shtick is, it makes it a lot harder for me to actually do it. You know, I'm getting ready to get angry. I usually get angry. Well, I'm not going to get angry now. Because here's the truth. And so I'm going to do this instead. You are going to find, if you are faithful to do this 30 times within 30 days or 35 days, you will find yourself taking a situation that was going to go south, and you're going to grind it to a dead stop and do exactly an opposite thing, and you're going to walk away, and you and your spouse are going to say, well, that's never happened before. That was stupendous, terrific, amazing. Let's do that again.
And the really exciting part about it is you can do your half of the cycle whether or not your spouse does their half of the cycle or not. You know, when I interact with Terry and I'm controlling and critical, when I lay down in bed that night, do I like me? Do I think, wow, was I good? You know, I don't like me. But regardless of what Terry does, if I stay connecting, if I stay nurturing, if I stay calm, I like me when I lie down in bed at night better. So the real benefit, and that's really an encouraging thing that keeps it moving too, is the change that you begin to see in yourself that makes you like who you are better. And so it makes it more wanting to stick. Thoughts or questions? Yeah.
You know, does that start to move me? It's like, really, can't you just move on, you know?
Yeah, and so the question is what does that trigger with me? You know, I can tell you guys, and this is one of those male-female things, all right? When your spouse does the four steps in front of you, you're going to think, oh, gosh. You know, you're going to feel like somebody's pulling your collar down to eat something you don't want to eat. You know, you're going to be like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Let's not do this. Because this is the truth. Your brain does what it knows. Here's the really evil part. Our brain craves this pain cycle. It wants this pain cycle. And let me tell you, we have somebody out there that's a roaring lion that wants us to stay in this pain cycle, who's also going, yeah, rooting for the pain cycle, right? I'm telling you, yes, that's exactly the way it's going to feel. But the trick for me is not to, like, why don't you, can't you, can't we, do you have to? The trick is to go, what's going on with me? What is it that I feel? Is to take care of my side of the fence. I know that that's difficult because we'll have this natural sway of not wanting to go there. But if we go there, I can promise you that's where the good stuff is.
However, the benefit also becomes when you know each other's story that you become more sensitive to those tender things. When I really would say this would be true. I've had an experience in the last few weeks that it's painful for me, I can tell you, that a person that works very closely with me is quitting. And she's my friend, and we office at a place at Pepperdine that's kind of, it's up at the, for those of you that have ever been there, it's up on the top of the mountain, and we're away from all the administrative offices, and it can feel very isolated and very lonely up there. And so in all the decision for her and what she's doing, it's felt very lonely for me because I'm losing, I work with a lot of younger people, but she's my age, you know, and I'm really going to miss her. So when I come home to Terry over the last 2 weeks and I'm going, I'm feeling so alone. You've been very sympathetic. I mean, it's not like I get the response of, oh, you, alone again. You know, it's like, yeah. It's more like I can really understand because this person has been your friend. And I can really understand because I know where your office is and I know it's going to feel lonely and I know all those things. And I think I've become much more sensitive when I think you're feeling not good enough or when something happens where maybe you don't feel as good. It's like I understand it for the first time. It's so empowering to understand why he's withdrawing, that it has nothing to do with me, that it maybe has more to do with that he's not feeling adequate or feeling good enough, because I can respond to that in a different way. So I would add that.
I can also relate to this, because when she's brought that home, you know, there's part of my heart that's going blah, 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 blah. You know, it my first reaction is, man, have we heard this before? But then I know something's going on in my heart. So when I chase that down, you see, I'm much slower to that reaction because I've been practicing on slowing down that reaction a lot more. So that isn't what comes out. And it does come out heartfelt once I get it regulated, because I know all those things about her. I can hear that.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is for the purposes of your own self, to calm yourself down, to be very present in the moment and evaluate it as every second goes by, to put yourself in a piece.
Yes.
But that's one part of it. But does it matter how your spouse is responding? Does it matter if they're like,
yeah.
Does it matter if they care about
it? Sure, it feels better if they care, but you've got to be able to get to your truth regardless of how the other people around you respond. You absolutely have to. See, I don't want Terry to define who I am. I don't want Terry to have the power to make me feel alone, because I am not alone. Now, he may be having a bad day, and he may make me feel that way sometimes, but that's not who I am. And that's, we give our spouses too much power in defining who we are and what we're going to be. This is, and again, I'm not being critical of the field of counseling, but a lot of marriage counseling in the last, a lot of counseling in the last several years is more about getting your spouse to do what you need them to do instead of accepting responsibility for yourself and learning what you're doing in the relationship that's destructive. And we've got to move towards this idea of self-regulation, or we're just going to spend the rest of our lives looking for the person who will do what we need them to do for us. And we're not going to find them, you know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say about that just to help you, there's several things that will screw you up, all right? One is saying, Sharon, don't you need to do your four steps? You're dead meat if you do that, right? You're guaranteeing a fight. The other is this, is say, when I go through the four steps, what I want to do is I want to say what I feel. Let me tell you all about the way that I feel. Let me tell you and explain to you the way I feel. Let me tell you all the things of why you make me feel that way. In other words, we take 20 minutes to say these four steps. I'm telling you this, the way you feel 90% of the time will be on that pain chart. It will be the same things over and over again. It doesn't need some public discourse or public hearing. The four steps should literally take you less than 30 seconds to go through. This is the way I feel. This is what I normally do. There's no question. I normally do these things. Here's the truth. Now here's what I want you to understand. It's not important to me for you to know about why I feel, why you made me feel unloved, or you made me feel unwanted, or why you made me feel like a failure. Here's what I want to know. You know, you are an amazing woman. You love me like no one else loves me. Your eyes see me so well. That's what I appreciate about you. That's what I want to encourage you about. If I can get myself into the truth where I'm able to make that kind of connection, you see, we're talking about a different ball game at that point. Yeah, one of the things that I think Sharon said is really important for us guys is that we normally think it's easier for us to start off with what we do and then track that back to what we feel. So, like, you know, if I'm a withdrawer, or I'm a blamer, if I get angry a lot, or whether I'm a controller or something like that, let me name those things, let me call those things out. Well, I get angry a lot, or I withdraw, and when I withdraw, I'm usually trying to get somebody to notice me at a certain level or something like that. Then I start saying, what's fueling that? What's at the heart of that? And I think it's really helpful for guys to just break this down into most simple components. Is this about the way I feel about myself? Do I feel like I'm being loved the way that I want to be loved? Or is it about me feeling unsafe in the situation? Just ask yourself those two questions. Just start with the broadest of things, saying, does this have more to do with the way I feel about myself? Or does this have more to do with about the sense of safety? And start with those broad categories and just let it unpack over a period of time. You know, here's the deal. You know, you can have that shining moment if you do this 30 times in 35 days, and you can. But the truth is that we're still learning about our pain cycle 8 years later. It's still, there's things that are still being revealed about, to me, about my past, the kind of things that I do. So I'm still walking around in it. I'm still getting to know that old self better and better and finding out more and more about its tricks. So the fact that you can't name it right now, that's okay. Name what you can name. See if that's authentic, and let that work on you, and see where it will take you to the next step. You know, it's not important that you see the end goal. It's important that you know the next step. That's it.
Well, the clock is off at the back of the room, so it keeps on. We're finished, right? 8:45, that's what time it is. Okay. A couple things I'd just like to say to you in finishing tonight. Number one, we are going to be here at 9:30 in the morning again and then at lunch, so we'd love to see you guys again after you sit on this for 24 hours. This is not your average marriage gathering, and we know that. But again, I would say part of the reason that we're so excited about this material is the change in the dynamic that we've seen in our own relationship that we've always felt was good. This has just intensified it so much. Just because I want y'all to know, on the front sheet that we gave you is our contact information. Please feel free to contact us at any time if you'd like more information. There is a book. We're not good publicists, I don't know what the word is even. There is a book that's called 5 Days to a New Marriage that has some of these principles in it that Terry and another author have written. The other thing I would say is we also two times a year at Pepperdine. Terry and I are sometimes, it's myself and another therapist, we do a marriage intensive, and it's for couples that are in crisis. It's for couples for 4 days with two therapists, and we do 8 to 10 hours of therapy a day. And we use this model. And it's been amazing how we can help get somebody from a really difficult place when you get them away from work and children and chaos into an environment that overlooks the ocean on a beautiful setting, and gets them away from stresses and helps them focus on their relationship. We've been using the marriage intensive model, Terry and I have, for about 7 years now. And of the research that we've done, 80% of the couples that we've worked with are still married. So it's just a really amazing therapy experience. If you know somebody in crisis, I would highly suggest you look into that. So those are the only public service announcements I have. You guys have been an amazing, you guys are fun. It's been a great day, and we really appreciate your interest, your questions, your involvement, and we hope to continue the conversation in the morning. So, Amy, anything else that you have?
Great.